It is Friday night, finally, the end of a long week, and I am so grateful to be here for this week's edition of the Minnesota Beercast, wrapping up a busy, busy week here in the Twin Cities.
It's good to be home, man.
It's good to be home. The last episode was recorded about, I don't know what, 4,000 miles away.
Dude, jet lag is real.
Yeah.
I've never been an international traveler before, and jet lag is a real thing.
Did it catch up with you when you got back? Like 2 days after we got back, it seemed like, for me at least.
No, it hit me right when we got home, man. I am kind of a night owl, and I was asleep by like 8 o'clock. Me and my 8-year-old were in bed at the same time.
Yeah, I had to, I had to work the morning show. You know, the very next day we got back, it was a blur. The rest of that week, you know, we got back Tuesday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
It was till we got to Saturday. That whole week was kind of a blur.
Yeah, it was a little bit of catching up, but it was a good tired. It was, you know, we wore ourselves out and had a heck of a good time.
If you missed, the Salzburg Munich Oktoberfest edition of the Minnesota Beercast, get the iHeartRadio app and give it a listen. It was a lot of fun, really fun trip, and we're already sort of kicking around ideas for next year. We want to do another trip. So if you're interested and you want to stay on top of what we're doing, make sure to hit us up on social media, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. We'll make sure to keep all of the announcements there. But you know, some ideas that we're kicking around are possibly the Prague, the Czech Republic, Belgium, or Ireland, or Italy. I mean, there's all sorts of fantastic places to go to enjoy amazing beers.
Well, let's introduce our guests and see where they have some ideas as far as beer travels and get their take on it. Let's introduce them and start it off that way. We've got from Falling Knife, we've got Tom and Dan. How are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Say hi. Hit the on button and say hi there, guys.
Yeah, I'm doing well.
Doing great.
Good. We've got Jake from Spilled Grain. How you doing, Jake?
Not too bad. How are you guys doing?
Good. So we threw out some locations for future, I guess, travel ideas. Do you guys have any preference? Where would you go if you had an ideal beer vacation? Did any of those sound good, or you have totally different ideas?
Prague.
Yeah.
Prague? Czech Republic. Czech Pils. That is the most legitimate beer style out there. I'm a sucker for them.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're amazing.
Tom, I've heard, Dan, what do you think?
I've heard the Czech Republic has like the best beer in Europe. I've heard more than one person say that.
Yep.
It's great. Yeah. I loved spending a lot of time in Germany and Belgium. It's kind of funny because they sort of argue with each other as far as like the Germans go, well, the Belgians put everything but the kitchen sink in their beer. And then the Belgians go, well, the Germans, their beer is boring because it's only 4 ingredients.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of a fun, like, almost like a contest between the two countries.
You know? Yeah, I can definitely see that. Well, let's talk about you guys, not us, and on our travels. Let's start with Jake. How you doing, Jake?
Good. Very good.
Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You guys have been making some news lately, been winning awards.
We try to. It's been, we've had a good run lately.
Tell us about it.
So, just this past weekend, we won another silver medal at GABF. So, very, very cool. You know, definitely top. Boy, I got 3 kids, so probably top 4 thing that's happened, you know, in the life. And
but where you, does it you don't have to rank them. You don't have to. I mean, it's not hurt any feelings.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, super cool. Unexpected to win it 2 years in a row for the same beer was just next level.
So was it gold or silver? Or
silver both years. Yep, okay. Randomly enough.
And it was four, was
so
it?
An American style wheat wine, which is in the other strong beer category.
Okay.
At GABF. So it's in with a bunch of random stuff, which is kind of cool. So
nice. Did you bring any with you?
I did.
Pass it over here. Let's
growler and some glasses. Yeah.
Let's put it to the real test.
Pass it around, guys. So, yeah. So I always get the question, you know, what is an American wheat wine? I mean, so many people know what a barley wine is.
Right.
It's basically that made with just a boatload of wheat instead of a boatload of barley. So a little bit smoother, not quite as, I like to use the word edgy. Like barley wines sometimes have like an edge to them. This one definitely has more esters to it. It's going to be a little bit more fruity, sweeter. Mm-hmm. We use Calypso hops, which are kind of a unique hop to use in them. And thank you, Tom. And just a fun overall beer style to brew. I don't think there's many of them. in Minnesota that I've seen done. I know Hoops has done one, but I think that's about it that I've seen.
Yeah, that's great.
There's not a ton of wheat wines, but they're it's a good style that I like. Do you think that we'll see more wheat wines happen as we move forward?
I would hope so. They're a pain in the butt to brew because they do have so much wheat. I think it's like 80% wheat, which is a nightmare. But
What makes it a nightmare to brew with so much wheat?
Just the lack of husks on wheat. So when you're vorloffing and lautering, you can get stuck sparges really, really. Basically, your sparge gums up and it runs extremely, extremely slow.
Is the other 20% rice hulls?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, we put a lot of rice hulls in that beer. And there's some two-row, I think, or something, which helps a little bit, but it's nothing. Yeah, I strap in that day when we have to brew that beer. It's gonna be a long runoff. So
very cool. How many beers did you enter at GABF?
We were limited to four this year. So yeah, we sent this one, and we actually sent the last year's winner into the age category, which again is kind of a crapshoot because everything and anything gets put in there. So a bunch of barrel aged stuff kind of won this year, which is really cool. And then we have our old ale, which I also brought. Which is kind of a English version. It's a tweener between an English barley wine and an English brown ale, kind of a unique style. And then I brought our Czech pils as well, which we also had.
So, are they limiting the amount of entries you can do now?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been at four or five the last four-ish years.
Okay.
So yeah, you're limited greatly because of how many people want to enter.
So how do you decide what it is that you want to enter? Do you go with, you know, what you think is your best brew? Do you go with you think has the best odds of winning? Or you just kind of, you know, you could, if you wanted, a guy could kind of game it, right? Where you look at the categories that have the fewest entries and you think you have a strong chance, right?
Yeah, very good point. So, I mean, it's a little bit of both. Obviously, if a category only has 40 or 50 entries on average, and you can only look at last year, it could pivot on a dime. And we've seen that where Oktoberfest one year were 48 entries and the next year is 120, you know, the year Beaver Island won their bronze there. And so it's like, you can never predict that. You'd like to think there's trends, but you don't know for sure. So, I mean, we absolutely 100% look at the beer first and what we're going to do. And we enter a few other competitions, US Open Beer Championships, which is the second largest. And that gives us some good feedback and kind of where our beers are placing before we have to send them into GABF. So we kind of go off of that. I guess if we had to flip a coin, we might go on the number of entries, but we've never really cognizantly looked at that or anything. So
very nice. So how long have you guys been open for?
About coming up on 4.5 years. So we opened in early summer of 2015.
I feel bad that, you know, the scene has changed so much, and I feel like a goon calling it a scene. But it's like it used to be where I knew every single brewery in Minnesota, let alone around the metro area. And you guys aren't that far out of the metro area, but you've been open 4 years, and I haven't made it to Annandale yet.
Yeah,
so
and there's a lot of people that haven't.
That's Schmitty.
You know, I've got
you got a car.
Well, on Mondays we've got chess. On Wednesdays we've got fencing. On Fridays we've got yoga. It's guys busy, man. You know,
just combine those three, and you got an extra day.
There you go.
There
you go.
Fencing, yoga. It should be sweet.
Yeah, it was a real pleasant surprise. So my family has a cabin out towards the Painesville Eden Valley area, and
just
you
past
know,
us, yeah.
Yeah, just right out 55. And I was like, oh man, a new brewery. And we stopped in, and I really dig your guys' decor. I really dig the vibe in the spot, and then like completely blown away by the beer. You know, I brought a bunch of crowlers back. Just because I needed to share it with my friends in town and be like, if you're ever going west on 55, you got
to
stop in this place and you order the pizza from the place around the corner, and then you just have somebody run over there, bring it back, and sit on the front deck. Yeah, it's a really nice spot.
I love the idea that you have the local tie-in with the restaurants. So some places do a really great job of that, and some places just whatever happens, you know. But in my opinion, that should be symbiotic. It should be something that you work with, but it doesn't always happen. You know, the local business owners are not always amiable to it, and you know, you can only do what you can do, right?
Right.
But pizza and beer, that should be a match made in heaven.
It is.
Me.
It really is. Yeah.
Get your food while you're drinking beer, otherwise you're going to stop at Taco Bell on the way home and order way too much of it.
Taco Bell is just the scourge of all beer drinkers. It's just, however you happen to arrange your tortilla, your meat, your lettuce and cheese, right? It's just however they combine it. It's all the same food. Right. It's garbage. Get a pizza instead from your local pizzeria, if you ask me. Let's take a break and come back and talk some more with the guys from Falling Knife and from Spilled Grain. We'll be back after this. You're listening to AIM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Minnesota Beercast. Twin Cities News Talk AM at 3103.5 FM. As mentioned in the last segment, make sure you hit us up on social media. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Just search MN Beercast or Minnesota Beercast, any of those outlets, and you will find our social media feeds. And if you got any suggestions for future shows, anybody you'd like to have us talk to or a place you'd like us to visit, have beer will travel.
Yeah, you know, we've kind of been diversifying the show content a little bit. So, you know, if you have ideas kind of outside of the beer sandbox, you know, let us know.
We'll, yeah.
Cheese, cigars, spirits, definitely.
Anything.
Anything. We're open to suggestions.
If it tastes good, we'll eat it or drink it.
And even if it doesn't, talk about it. We'll give it a try.
I would show up to that party, just for the record.
We've been talking with the guys from Spilled Grain and from Falling Knife. Over the break, you poured us a beer that looks delicious. I haven't had a sip of it yet, but tell us what this is, Jake.
So this is an English Old Ale, which I kind of describe as a tweener between an English brown and an English barley wine. Mm-hmm. So ton of dark fruit component, dates, figs, big caramel backbone, raisin, things like that. 7.8%, super smooth. You're not going to really perceive the bitterness, but just a really, really unique beer. And we were kind of talking in the break. One of my favorite things, especially out in Annandale, because we kind of broke the seal, so to speak, on craft beer in that area. And still to this day, we're educating the locals and the people that are moving into the area and the lake communities and everything on beer. And I like bringing out obscure styles like an Old Ale or a wheat wine or what, even Czech pils. I mean, you don't see a lot of Pilsner Urquell on the shelf at, you know, the local liquor store. So being able to educate the locals and help them find something that they like that they don't know they like, was one of my favorite things to do.
That's awesome. You guys have some nice styles. You have some really good names that go along with them. I'm looking at the website here. I'm not sure I like the porter. That looks like a good one. The
chocolate peanut butter porter.
Yep. Yeah.
I can't take credit for that one.
With the hipster haze IPA. That's pretty good.
Yeah, easy IPA. Yep.
The resting beach face fruit beer.
Our pina colada beer. Yeah.
Careful how you pronounce that one. the nursing and public milk stout. That's you guys have got some pretty creative names. Who's in charge of that that department?
You know, I've got a couple partners and their wives and my wife that relish that. I just make beer. There's very, very few beer names that I've come up with myself. And so, yeah, they love being creative like that. So I'll throw out a new beer and I'll say, hey, this is kind of the background on it. You know, have fun. And we've got a running Google Doc that's got 300 names on it. A lot of that were put on that list while we were drinking. And
that's when the best ideas really come,
that
right?
That seems to be our case, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you write drunk and edit sober if you know, life has taught me anything.
So they have a lot of fun. We pare it down and we kind of vote on it and go from there. So make sure nobody else has used it, you know, kind of locally. And nice. And away we go.
Nice. So. It's do you have any that have been kind of shot down, or you've come up with them in the middle of the night and woke up the next day and like, yeah, no, the families are not going to appreciate that name.
Not necessarily.
And we
shot
are on
down.
The radio, so keep that in mind.
Yeah, right. Not necessarily shot down. They're still on the list. We'll put it that way. They're in their own special column on the list, and we laugh about them. I don't know if we'll ever use them.
That's fun. That's fun. Well, Tom and Dan, you guys have got to be coming up with some beer names because you're opening pretty doggone soon. You've got to have everything just about planned out, plotted out, right?
Yeah, we're open to the public next Friday, so there's a lot going on in our world.
October 18th, is that right?
October 18th at noon, and we have Hoodlum Barbecue coming out, and they decided to do their pastrami for us. So
ooh,
if you've not had that, it is tremendous.
I've not had the Hoodlum Barbecue. Tell me a little more about that.
Yeah, so it's a guy, Andy, and his team, and they do They have a smoker that they bring out around to breweries. If you've ever had the opportunity, they've been to Bauhaus a lot.
Okay.
But they're around town. And basically, when they do their pastrami, it runs out pretty quick.
Yeah.
Just because it's one of those kind of driving things. And we gave him enough notice that he was able to put us on the docket for that for, you know, a couple of weeks of brining it and curing it and making it ready. But he's also going to bring out his brisket, which also goes very quickly and a bunch of really fun, interesting sides. So he was talking about a Gouda smoked mac and cheese, which I know mac and cheese is one of Tom's favorite foods, so I'm pretty sure he's excited for that one.
Mm-hmm. I'm a sucker for mac and cheese and definitely a smoked brisket. I'm a brisket guy. When I go and have barbecue, like, you know, it's pretty hard to mess up, you know, a pork butt. But I think, in my opinion, the test of any barbecue has got to be how well you take care of your brisket.
Sure.
So I'm looking forward to swinging out and seeing just how well they're doing their brisket.
Yeah, his their Instagram account is you know, just fascinating, because he's just like, check out this brisket, and he starts jiggling it, and then it does the Homer Simpson and keeps moving, and then all of a sudden starts juicing. And I've been dabbling in pescatarianism lately, so I'm just like, not today. I'm not going to be a pescatarian today. I got to go find one.
That's fantastic.
I don't know if I could dabble in something like that. That's too edgy for me.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome, man. We are going to come up against a quick break here, but I want to come back and hear more about not just what you've got going on with the food, but I want to hear about you know, everything you have going on at Falling Knife, the philosophy, the branding, what you have in store for us, kind of where you guys have all got your pedigrees and what we can look forward to coming from Falling Knife once you guys throw the doors open on October 18th.
Yeah.
Are you listening to the Minnesota Beercast on AM 1130 and 103.5 FM? We'll be back after this.
Schmitty, do you know why I've chosen the bumper music I've chosen this week?
No, tell me why.
Ginger Baker passed away.
Oh, that's kind of our thing. When someone dies,
we play their music.
Yeah. In a white
room with black curtains. Welcome back to the Minnesota Beercast. I am Drew. That is Schmitty.
It's me.
How you doing?
Better than Ginger Baker.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Rest in peace, Ginger Baker. He was an amazing drummer. And an insane person.
Yeah.
Like, one of the true, like, crazy rock and roll personalities you'll ever find. Okay, cool story, bro.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That was good. They're all good back and forth there.
Well, and if I'm not incorrect, he also wrote the end of Layla, the piano part.
Oh, really?
I think
that
was a Ginger Baker part of it.
Huh.
Very cool. Derek and the Dominoes, yeah, the outro.
And then he moved out to the boondocks, and nobody ever saw him again.
Yeah, he hasn't done much lately.
Well, except for dying.
Oh, burn.
I mean, too soon, man. Except for expiring, you're right.
On to happier topics. Let's talk about Falling Knife and your forthcoming brewery. How long have you guys been working on? It's been a while, right? I mean, in earnest, I think there's... You know, every home brewer kind of always has, you know, a dream in the back of their brain about someday, you know. But how long in earnest have you guys been working on this project? It's been a while, right?
About 2 years, 2.5 years.
Yeah. So, you know, conversations amongst us, you know, our origin story is that Tom, Andy, and I have known each other for over a decade just through the music scene. If you're not familiar, Tom is in two of the best bands in Minneapolis. You can read all about Tom's bass tones on the internet.
Tom's a bass player?
Yep.
Ah, kindred spirit.
Really, really one of the best ones. So,
Drew thinks he's a bass player, too.
I am a bass player. I mean, I'm not a very good one, but I am one. I have a bass, and I play it. Yeah. It counts.
Yeah. I'll allow it. But so you know, Tom's band Self-Evident has been around for over 20 years and are really in that math rock post-hardcore scene that really always spoke to me on that. It's an incredibly niche area of music, but they do it about as well as anybody else in the country. So when I moved back from Arizona, you know, I had some friends, including Andy, our third partner, CEO of the company, that we're like, oh, you got to go see this band, because based on your interests, you're going to love them. We did. And so we all bonded over music. You know, we have, it's a big giant Venn diagram with three different circles. So there's some things that Andy and Tom overlap on a lot better than I do with Andy or Tom. And then Tom and I overlap a lot on things there too. So, we went from music to all enjoying beer while going to shows and enjoying music in the Twin Cities area. And then also, we all are big Timberwolves fans. So just this friendship was born out of all of that. And Tom and I were brewing together for a long time on the homebrew scale with the Primary Fermenters Homebrew Club. And then, Tom just kept going and going and going, whereas I kind of stopped on homebrewing. I was like, I'm making pretty good beers and I'm willing to sit at home and just drink these and not really pursue that. And Tom really, really pushed that to the edge of where it was. And then, you know, we kept having these conversations about opening a brewery,
mm-hmm.
really starting about 2.5 years ago, and then continue to have them, and then continue to have them.
So how do you start going from having those talks to planning it in earnest? What's the first step?
For us, it was like forming our LLC. You know, that was the kind of defining moment where we were all sitting there talking to each other about the idea of opening this brewery and just went, wait, we're actually doing this, right? Like, we're not talking about this as an idea. We're talking about this as an actual business that we're going to open. And figuring all of the business elements of that out, we did contract with BevCraft, mm-hmm. Earthrider, Tim Nelson, mm-hmm. Frank Azuba, Brad Nelson, all those guys up
there. Good guys.
There. Yeah, yep, really good. And it's one of those things where, you know, it's a thing we're taking seriously. The idea of where we are deficient, we want to include other people mm-hmm. so that they can help us out in that situation. So signing on with them was kind of the next step of getting it going. And then it was tracking down location, which is not the easiest thing to do in the 494, 694 loop right now.
Right.
So we had looked at a couple locations, had gone into some negotiations with it, and then we ended up with an opportunity to enter Northeast, and that's what we wanted to do. So we seized that, and you know, that was end of last April, and part of that was, you know, retrofitting an existing brewing establishment and really making it our own. You know, a lot of people could have just taken that place and opened up another place that looked very similar and changed a couple beer names, but that wasn't what we were going to do because we were already planning on opening a brewery. We just ended up with a good opportunity in all of this. And so that's what we've been doing for the last, you know, year and a half is getting all the renovations done, getting all the business planning done, getting everything ready so that we can launch next week. And we just did a little tour of some accounts around town, putting beer out into the market to start. Next Friday, October 18th at noon is when we open up to the public.
And where should folks go if they want to find out where the brewery is at and find out more information?
Yeah, absolutely. So our full website goes live later this week, but really our social media, as everything is now, is the best place to get more information about us. So if you go on any of the major ones, just go to Falling Knife BC. That's generally our thing. Otherwise, look up Falling Knife Brewing Company, and you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I started a TikTok account because people keep telling me that that's an important one to get in the future.
What's TikTok?
It's an emerging platform.
Tim's laughing. Tim, you know what TikTok is?
I do because I'm not entirely an old, but it's a thing that the kids are using these days to share video content. I don't have a TikTok myself because I'm still kind of an old.
Oh, I don't have one on my own either. It's just for the brewery. I want to cyber squat that Falling Knife BC account just in case somebody else wants it at some point.
So tell me about the location. How important was it to you guys to be within the loop as it is? You know, we've got Jake here from Spilled Grain, and one of the conversations we had when we were doing a little show prep was the growth in the Minnesota craft brewing industry and how we think that some of the growth is going to be concentrated outside of that area. Were you guys open to the idea of opening a spot outside of the loop or Northeast or how big a role did location play in what you were doing?
Yeah. So, I mean, we were very, very interested in the idea of being in the Minneapolis area just because that's you know, where our heart is on all of this, but we looked at locations outside the 494, 694 loop. You know, we were looking for the right place, not necessarily tied to a specific part of the city. And more than anything else, it was about like the facility itself. You know, can it have a tap room? We're having a tap room focus to start, even though we have a 20 barrel system. You know, we do have plans on the future of pushing kegs out into market. We acquired a canning line. So we can do that whenever we really want to, but we really want to push the idea that people come interact with us where we have, you know, control over how people interact with us. And the tap room is a place that we put a lot of pride and we really are excited for people to come see it because it's a very, very welcoming and warming tap room.
And let's talk about the beers you guys are going to open with. What's your opening lineup and what's the brewing philosophy at Falling Knife?
I think the idea is like, you know, a lot of variety. I think we're gonna open with actually 10 different beers. I think, which is pretty cool for.
That's impressive.
That's very impressive. Open.
So, a lot of variety. You know, we're all kind of hopheads, but also, as we kind of talked, like love a lot of the classic styles. Like I kind of came up brewing a lot of the, you know, German, Belgian styles, did a lot of the original BJCP styles as a home brewer, did pretty well, you know, certified beer judge.
Right.
You've been to my house, Schmitty. So, you know, like, but
you
yeah.
You can brew, fella.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I like to do a lot of variety and whatnot, but, you know, it's kind of like trying a lot of stuff to a point, you know. Are we going to do a, you know, like a,
are you gonna try stuff just to try stuff?
It's hard to say, like, you know,
because you've got, I mean, you've got the 20 barrel system, right? Do you have the smaller, you're gonna have like the XD, you're gonna, I mean, what's, how is it gonna play out in actual development?
So I think, like, you know, a lot of the ideas is, you know, a lot of hop forward stuff, some German styles, Belgian styles, you know, some sours, some stouts, like trying to do a little bit of everything, but to a point, you mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like not getting too weird, at least to start. And also not saying we'll never do this or never do that.
Yeah.
But trying to like do a lot of things well without being too crazy about it.
Well, I think you should, I mean, it's, if you want my opinion, do whatever sticks. If I were to open a brewery, and I'm never going to, I would if I had the chops that you do, I would do everything that seems like fun or that people might want or I think they might want, mm-hmm. and whatever sticks to the wall, I'd brew more.
Right. And we talk about that too, you know, from the get-go, we had to establish a brewing philosophy and we want to stay within that, but also, you know, we got Tom and his amazing beer and brewing mind, but you know, we also have Robbie Dunaway as our mm-hmm. head brewer, who had spent 4 years at Surly and about a year at Fair State. So, and they make a really excellent duo because, you know, Robbie's on that kind of like, I mean, I call him a hazy wizard, but you know, he's on that like front edge of it. You know, he's the person that's going to push us to do a, you know, a pastry stout, and it's going to be absolutely incredible because Robbie's going to do it. And then we got Tom who's also there, you know, making sure that we're making the best Northern German Pilsner that we can possibly make and making all these Belgians and, you know, an incredible West Coast IPA. And they just really work amazingly well together. And, but they also have like this, you know, a little bit of difference between them, so that it allows us to have an even bigger wheelhouse than we would otherwise have if it was just one or the other.
It's a little like the Venn diagram you mentioned earlier with your ownership group, where everybody covers a little bit of the area that's needed, you know, but maybe a little bit of overlap too. And I think that's important, maybe in not only the ownership like you discussed, but also in the brewing creative, where you've got that balance, right? Where you've got some, there's maybe not. Maybe not conflict is the best way to put it, but tension and pushing back and forth, where, you know, if you have a more traditional idea and Robbie's got a more, you know, forward thinking idea, you guys can go back and forth on it and find a nice balance maybe.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of things has he suggested that maybe you have pushed back on? Has he put anything out there that's too forward?
No, not at this point. I don't think. I think we're both really on the same page. I mean, I think our brewing batch 14 tomorrow, which is an English barley wine.
Nice.
So there's some things that I think that he hasn't done. And also, I think there's some things that he's done that I've never used a centrifuge.
Yeah.
You know, and he's totally comfortable with it, you know, and I'm used to finding beers, you know, or filtering beers. So I think it's a good yin yang as far as like what he's comfortable with, what I'm comfortable with, but also like putting the trusts into each other.
Well, we've got another break coming up. When we come back, I want to hear about the Falling Knife name, and I want to hear from Tim from Badger Hill about what they've got going on over south of the river. You're listening to the Minnesota Beercast on AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Final segment of this week's edition of the Minnesota Beercast. I am Drew. That is Schmitty. You can find all of our archived episodes. MinnesotaBeercast.com is the website, or on the Minnesota Beercast channel on the iHeartRadio app. Appreciate you spending some time with us this week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate all of our guests coming in and bringing all their tasty beers.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Anytime, man.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
What are you boys pouring there? Let's get into some more beers.
Yeah, so this is our Denali Sultana and Mosaic Hazy IPA.
This is tasty.
Yeah, it comes in around 6.2.
What is Sultana? I don't know if I've ever heard that.
It's another name for Denali.
They had to change
there
it.
Was there a trademark dispute?
As lawyers that, yeah. got involved, as they want to do.
Yeah, just like most hops, right? Right. We called something else in 5 years.
Nah. Yep. They ruin everything.
Lawyers ruin everything.
It's not wrong.
Don't tell resident lawyer Jeffrey O'Brien that, but they do.
Lawyers, all of them except for lawyer extraordinaire, Jeff O'Brien. He's a great friend of the show.
So
we love him.
When we left the last segment, I had teased the name, the brand that is Falling Knife. Explain yourselves. What
were you thinking?
What the hell does that mean?
Yeah, so
check yourself.
Yeah. So there's an old restaurant term or like phrase, which is a falling knife has no handle. It's the like get out of the way, you know, let the thing fall and then go pick it up. If you haven't seen our logo, it's a thumbs up where there's a little bit of separation there, but.
A little bit of separation. It's the thumb is severed from the hand.
Sure, but it's still animated and cheeky and all of that kind of stuff.
It's not gory.
Yeah, I mean, nah. So you know, it's the idea of, you know, when we were starting all of this up, everybody that had an opinion about it was telling us that, you know, oh, don't you think the beer market in Minnesota is saturated? And, oh, you're going into a place where another brewery was previously. So, you know, do the risky thing. Go get what you want. Go grab that knife as it's falling. And, you know, the logo is kind of a tongue-in-cheek reference to the fact that we know we're going to take some licks along the way, but we're also going to have a good time doing it. So,
I like it. Nine fingers or not, you're still going to grab that knife.
Right, exactly. And probably if it goes down one time and we catch a lick, we'll probably do it again the next time because we're not really that, you know, we're not that smart about it.
Awesome. I love it. That's a really cool brand. That's fun. I imagine it leaves some room for creativity. What's, you know, Tom, when we talked a while back discussing the brand about like tap handles and stuff, you guys have got to be at least somewhat locked in on something like that with the Falling Knife. Do you guys have tap handles?
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't know if you could pull up a picture of it, but they turned out pretty cool. And I think you see them on a tap line, or you know. They definitely stick out.
Now, are they the thumb or are they a knife?
Oh, they're actually a knife. That's the only thing in our branding that actually shows a knife.
Okay. Yeah. Otherwise, we're generally trying to imply that knife, you know, as with the thumb logo and a couple other places.
Did you get any pushback from like TTB or anything as far as the branding or the thumb being separated? Or I mean, it's who knows sometimes what they will take offense to or what they'll find improper, for maybe lack of a better term, but it's sometimes it's like, really, you thought that was inappropriate?
Yeah, I mean, the answer to that question is no. You know, the response to it has been generally positive. One of my favorite stories about the entire like getting our brand together is, you know, my mom pulled me aside and was like, you know, I don't really understand the logo, but I'm also a 65-year-old woman who doesn't drink beer, so don't really listen to my opinion about that. I was like, That's amazing, Mom. Thanks.
I think we're going for like sort of dark humor without being too aggressive. Mm-hmm. You know, I think all three of us, like Dan mentioned, the music thing, like all been into bands, punk, hardcore, metal, whatever, but without being trying to steamroll people mm-hmm. at the same time. And we want everybody to feel welcome. You know, we're trying to, you know, the tap room, we're going for kind of a little more classier vibe. You know, Dan running the sales program in the tap room, I mean, we're really pushing like the table service and trying to be kind of more like,
I love that. I'm so glad you guys are doing table service. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things that I think is lacking in a lot of places. The table service at a tap room, I think is phenomenal.
Yeah. And if and when you come out there, you'll really get an understanding of why, you know, the tap room fits that. You know, it's not a place that would be really, really beneficial to having a line running through the middle of it. So we you know, hired up a tap room staff that is pretty senior, pretty really incredible people. And we never put anything out there. They're people that approached us, and we had to make some really tough decisions about who we were going to bring on to open. So we feel very grateful for who's going to open it up, from some people I used to work with at Tilia. You know, I was there for 8 years, to a couple people that just reached out to us out of the blue and got us going on there.
We've been Tilia's a fantastic restaurant for Tilia, those that have not been there.
Yeah, Tilia is, if you've never been there, it's definitely a solid spot. You should go check it out.
Yeah, shout out Stephen Brown and the whole team over there. You know, it's I came on there right after they opened, and I stuck around for 8 years.
It's got to say something. We've been sipping on some of the Badger Hill beer while we've been talking as well. Tim, thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much for having me.
Why don't you walk us through what we're sipping on?
Sure. So I brought a couple things. One that I've got in front of me right now is our Honey Badger, which we call a seasonal IPA. Really what this came out of, this was born originally kind of as an idea for Oktoberfest a few years ago, where we wanted to make what we called an anti-Oktoberfest. So what you have in here is you have some German malts. You've got Pilsner and Vienna and Munich and Kara Munich, but then it's aggressively hopped with Cascade and Citra and Mosaic. To give it a definitely more American feel than American ale yeast as well. So it's got kind of the best of both worlds, where you have that more malt. I always hate the term malt backbone. Everyone always says malt backbone, but it really does create kind of a more balanced type of IPA, where you get definitely that fall vibe as we get right into this.
Yeah, it's got the color without, like, you know, it's not where you expect it to go, which is what I love about it.
I agree 100% on the term malt backbone. It's probably along with biscuity, is probably the most overused descriptor.
I'm glad I used both of those earlier in the show. Thanks, guys.
But they're, you know, they're well worn, you know, aptly so, probably, because they're good descriptors in a way. I don't know how else you describe it, because it does provide the support for the rest of the beer, right? So I don't know if there's a better descriptor. If you have one, I would love to hear it, but it does get worn out quite a bit, right?
Yeah, for sure. Good malt structuralness. I don't know. this one also has local honey in it as well, so it kind of adds a little unique character. It's kind of a blend of what we did with our Oktoberfest, as well as the Hexit release we had a few years ago. So it's kind of taken from some previous things we've done in our history, and this is now year two of this beer, and I've just been really excited to see how it does out in the world.
No, it's great.
Did the honey come from the same folks who you worked with on Hexit, or do you kind of shop around for who's got what you're looking for and can give you the best price for what you got?
No, we were really excited to be able to partner with Keegan Roofer Apiary again. That was something that we got hooked up with through Todd at the time, and it's been a good partner. It's been a really great relationship. I can just text Jason Roofer and ask him, hey, we're going to be having a brew up on this day. This is what I need, and we're able to make sure that we're getting quality product, and we're really, really happy with what we're getting.
Jason also has a really impressive collection of pinball machines, and that's a world I dabble in. We're gonna have five in the tap room, but I've only heard, I've never been. So Jason, if you want us out there, let us know. I'll bring a growler. I want to see the barn of machines that I've heard about before.
Yeah, there's gonna be pinball and honey and beer. I want in. Somebody shoot me a text and let me know.
Do you know what the blend is in this?
I'm sorry.
As far as the honey?
No, I don't off the top of my head. Yeah, I know. That would be
delicious.
That I should know, but no. It is absolutely delicious.
Sure. Two parts grocery store honey. No, I'm just
kidding. we use Keegan's honey, too, in beers, and it's top-notch stuff. It's absolutely fantastic.
100% delicious. Yeah, yeah. What's the, you brought a growler, too. What is that you brought?
Yeah, so one of the things that we're doing at Badger Hill right now is we're kind of giving our brand a little bit of new life, new look and feel on a lot of things, and launching some new beers as well as retiring some old beers. And so what we have right now is brand new to the market. It's our Turncoat Juicy IPA. Mm. This one has loads of citrus and mosaic. It's meant to be juicy, not necessarily super hazy, really meant to be more just kind of that low IBU. Maybe a little bit easier sessionable at about 5.2%. But that's launching as one of these new brands that you'll see in cans on liquor store shelves as well. We have that, as well as, a couple other brands that we'll see coming out here very soon.
I need to know what you're going to be retiring. Cause I've got my Twitter machine up here and I've got to get some hateful tweets all queued up because that's how I express my anger and frustration.
Oh boy. Yeah. You know, there was an interesting article, recently in the Growler about retiring brands and the difficult decision to do that. But we've had some legacy brands that did really, really well for us. Brands we're really proud of, things like White IPA was a GABF gold medal winner, our High Road Everyday Ale, our Minnesota Special Bitter, both won U.S. Open awards. They're all great beers. Unfortunately, winning a lot of awards does not necessarily translate to selling to people. So, pretty much anything that you've seen, we've slowly started to move away from. So we haven't made High Road, White IPA, Foundation, MSB in a while, so for perhaps some small batch stuff. Trader's still there. Drew Blood Orange Trader is still around. Don't worry about that. There are a number that have moved on for sure.
It's, you know, that's kind of how life is, right? Your kids don't stay young forever. They grow up and you know, fly away from the nest and, you know, go on to college and experiment, and that's just how life is.
Shmier, are you suggesting we should retire our kids?
Eventually,
just put them down.
Eventually,
this got dark, really dark.
Real quick. I'm just saying, it's a circle of life. Somebody cue the Lion King music.
Yeah.
This is how it works.
Everywhere the light touches.
I love it. Drew's giving me the wrap-up signal.
We are unfortunately out of time for this week's edition of the Minnesota Beer Cast. It's always a sad, sad time when the show comes to an end.
Ah, well, this has been one heck of a show. Go check out the these new beers from Badger Hill. Go check out the Turncoat IPA and the Honey Badger, the seasonal. Go check out the folks from Falling Knife. They're opening October 18th. And congratulations to the folks from Annandale. And go check out Spilled Grain. Congratulations again, 2 years in a row. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll catch you next week here on the BeerCast. See ya.
Cheers.
It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.